Hello, everybody. Welcome to the After Disaster. Anderson is plugging in his microphone. I'm turning off my alarm to remind me that we have a show at 8. My alarm was set for 8:18. Perfect. I'm so dumb. I probably meant to set it for 7:18. What's happening, everybody? St. Patrick's Day.
I think it's my least favorite holiday.
I think it might be this one and Christmas.
Christmas is pretty sweet. I like the Christmas. I don't like the New Year's. I don't like the St. Patrick's Day. I don't like anything that gives the guy in the cubicle, no offense to those you listen in the cubicle, but the non-professional drinker an excuse to go out and do day drinking. I hate it.
Oh, I forgot about the day drinking. There was an Irish bar about 2 blocks from the Improv in San Diego, and I would walk by there 9:30, 10 in the morning, and the place was filled to the gills with drunkards.
During the all days of the year?
They opened in the morning.
Just St. Patrick's.
They opened at 6 a.m. St. Patrick's Day, and it was packed, and they were serving like eggs and corned beef and stuff, and that place was wall-to-wall.
I think Thursday I'm going to drink all day, in the middle of the day.
You are?
Yeah.
How come?
Just because I didn't get to today, because I don't like to do it with the masses.
So you're going
to
get your hands on some green dye? And
no, I'm not going to do the green thing. Just the drinking part. Just the good part.
All right.
Yeah. I'm not even wearing green today.
Are you Irish?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Another reason why. I think it's very racist. It offends me when I see people out. It'd be essentially the same thing as if there's a black day where you're supposed to get drunk and everyone's just wearing giant afros running around drinking or smoking crack.
That's fucking
hilarious. Very racist.
That is exactly what it's like.
It's exactly
giant
like
afros.
Smoking crack. Yeah. Everyone just, it's smoking crack day because, you know, we're celebrating the black man. Same thing.
That's a good point. It's just, everything is an excuse to booze. Everything is.
I know, Cinco de Mayo is going to be all the same Irish fucks that are drunk today. And Mexican fucks that are drunk today, they'll be drunk on Cinco de Mayo.
I went out drinking one time on St. Patrick's Day, and it's because somebody from the staff dragged me to an Irish bar, and I said, we can't get in. They're like, oh, I'll get us in the back door. And they did. And I was standing on the floor, and it was soaked with spilled beer and vomit.
And urine.
Soaked.
And urine. Don't forget the urine.
Sure. There might have been urine.
There was probably urine. You know you got a drinking problem when you're drunk during the day on St. Patrick's Day, and someone pinches you, and you go, what the fuck was that for? You're not wearing green. Why would I be wearing green? Because it's St. Patrick's Day, and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I forgot. That happened. The rules and regulations.
That happened to me 5 years ago. I was actually drunk in a bar during the day, and it was St. Patrick's Day, and I didn't even realize. Didn't know.
It's weird that St. Patrick's Day is on a Monday.
Well, it changes days, Mike. It's not like Easter Sunday or Thanksgiving Thursday.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying it's odd because this is a bad day for people to go out and get blackout drunk, and they have to go to work on Tuesday.
Most smart people did it last night. And they were just
Saturday
drinking, you
probably
know.
Probably, too.
Yeah. All right, enough about that, because this guy knows when this gets posted. It's probably on my St. Patrick's Day when it gets posted.
Tell me about how quickly that earthquake woke you up this morning.
I had just barely gotten to sleep when it happened. What time was it that it happened?
6:25.
Like, yeah, I had been asleep in bed for maybe an hour, and it was fun. It was cute, because it was the first one that happened in the middle of the night since I've been living with Jillian. And I just woke up to her little voice going, is this an earthquake?
That was a big one. That was a big one.
It wasn't that big. It was just close because it was right down the street.
Yeah.
We had a 4.9 in Encino, which is not that big.
You know, I'm on the second story and there's nothing beneath me. So my thing just sways anyway. Yeah. And it really, really went. It swayed a lot.
Hey, you seen that documentary, The Improv, 50 Years Behind
Yeah.
You enjoy that?
I didn't really pay attention.
You didn't pay attention to it. You watched it.
I went to the viewing party.
Documentary about your work.
I went to the viewing party and I wasn't paying a lot of attention.
You've worked at the Improv how long?
Since 1987, 88. Something
quick
like
math.
That.
It's 25 years.
Wow, that's a lot.
It's 27 years. 27 years, sometime this year. So you've been behind the brick wall for more than half of
behind the brick wall.
That's what the documentary is called. 50 years behind the brick wall.
Yeah, I've been there. I'm one of the oldest employees. Like, that's been there. Like, there's a bartender at Melrose that's been there like 35 years. There's a guy, the busboy at Melrose has been there like 40 years.
Would you call yourself the heart of the Improv?
I would call myself...
If you were an organ of the Improv, what would it be?
I will go with...
Liver?
I'm the gums.
The gums? It's not an organ, but okay.
I don't know, but I want to talk about organs in a little bit.
Do you?
Because I had a conversation. Sort of.
Is that bad times organ talk or a good time?
No, it was a discussion that came up today on the hike, and I
the hike. Are people supposed to know about this hike? Is it a legendary St. Patrick's Day hike?
No, hiked to the Hollywood sign and had a conversation about something, and I wanted to bounce it off somebody else. I don't know how I feel about it.
Should we talk about it now since we're here?
Tyler said 10, so we'll wait till he gets here.
Okay. Yeah, I got some stuff for Tyler to play, too.
Okay.
When he gets here.
I don't know what organ I am as far as that company goes. I'm sort of a disassociated organ.
Hey, part of the documentary, okay, here's what it is, because I don't think I'll flick fest it. I don't think that it was on the Film Vault that is. I always talk about the last three movies I saw. I think that I'll have three other movies to talk about, so I'll just talk about it on this one. Plus, it's apropos.
It's not really a movie. It's a television. It's a television
show. Bri would say. It's 58 minutes. It's over. It's almost an hour, and it's on Fuckflix. You can stream it now. I found it very interesting at times, very funny. A lot of choices were very upsetting to me, such as like the, I don't know if you could tell since you were watching it with a live studio or a live audience, but they did this style where they're interviewing comedians, a number of them. I mean, you name a big comedian, and they were there pretty much.
No, they were there when I was watching it too.
Well, the only black representation that they had were the entire Wayan family.
Yes,
I don't think they had anyone else there, which was kind of upsetting. Well, they had all five of them together.
Okay, the person who made it is a friend of mine.
And okay, here's the choice that your friend fucked up on. I don't know if it was out of his or her.
Her. Zoe Friedman, but Zoe, the founder of the Improv's daughter, made it.
Okay, Zoe had in front of her the comedian she's interviewing. Essentially, but she's not, you don't hear her voice. It's one of those interviewers where you just hear the answers, which I always like. I don't like
it
when the directors,
unless it's my voice that gets cut out, then I don't like it.
Thrusting themselves into the interview. But what they did have was all the sycophants off camera laughing at every single thing that these goddamn, like Jerry Seinfeld would say. You know, there's something. Time.
I didn't hear that when I watched it, but that was in one of the reviews I read early before it aired. That was in a review.
Distracting.
They said they didn't like the people in the background laughing,
and it was the stuff that wasn't even necessarily funny. You know, you know when you're around not even comedians, but just like celebrities, and they have their people with them that laugh at everything that they say.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And a lot of it's nervous, like please don't fire me laughter, and a lot of it is like, hey, I know you pay me to laugh.
A lot of podcasts.
That's
do that too.
What it sounded like. I hated it.
I think if I were to be critical of it, and I don't really have a criticism of it because I didn't really pay that much attention to it. I'm not trying to backpedal out of this.
That's a good critique. Barely watched this one.
There's
didn't pay much mind.
My experience at the Improv was with different. Like I know she was around years and years before I came into that company.
You're talking about the owner's daughter.
Yeah. So she saw other people because I never saw Larry David at the club. Obviously, I saw Seinfeld.
Well, I think he did New York.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it started in New York.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
The second one was out here, the Hollywood. Pretty much the West Coast one is the one that you work at.
But before that, Wayan it was Brothers a coffee shop. Being the only African-American representative, that's a weird one to me because in my 7 years at the Improv, when I worked there as a doorman and as an assistant manager, then as a general manager in San Diego, I never once saw the Wayan Brothers, ever.
But you saw black comedians.
Yes. Chris Rock a lot. Yeah. And there was a bunch of people.
They talked about Eddie Murphy and they talked about Chris Rock. Yeah. But and forgive me if someone's very familiar with this documentary and I'm forgetting that there was some other black dude.
I mean, there's like seven or eight people that are absolute staples of the Improv that outside of the New York era that are at the clubs every single night. The same, you know, there's the Harlan Williams, there's the Todd Glass, the David Spades. Those people are Improv comics that were there all the friggin' time.
Where did they shoot that thing? I'm talking about the documentary.
That's the problem.
That was a sound
I had.
Set, right? A sound stage.
They took bullshit? Stuff from inside the Improv and they moved it to a sound stage.
Why wouldn't they
make
shoot
it look like
inside
that's the
Improv? What was the problem with that?
I have no idea.
Like they
no idea.
Another problem that I have, and I know you know these people and
they
you're friends
made,
with
they,
them, but
they
why
made
not do it,
it look like it's the inside of the Improv when it wasn't the inside of the Improv? It was like at Sony Studios or something.
Was it just to make it easier on the people that they wanted to interview? They didn't want to
probably. Probably
because it would have been so much better to have like the comedians who have been working the club for years and years be like, this is the bar, here's a spot where this story, and then tell a story that actually happened.
Yeah.
One of the best stories I've ever heard in any documentary, and that's pretty lofty because I see a lot of shit, but it's worth the price of admission, which is free for this one because it's streaming on Fuckflix. But the story that Larry David tells about how he decided to become a stand-up is fucking priceless.
Yeah.
And I won't tell the story. It's just hilarious. It's so Larry David. And it's so believable, yet unbelievable at the same time. But it's believable because it's coming out of Larry's mouth. Gotta love that man. I can just
I love that guy
to that
too.
Man.
And my favorite quote forever. From that, I think it was from that movie. I'm not 100% sure, but when he was talking about Seinfeld. Oh, no, that was on Seinfeld's web show.
It's about how he got into the stand-up game. He was sitting in the audience, and he was watching, and it occurred to him. That's all I'll say, but it's so Larry David.
But I like the Seinfeld asked him was it in that documentary where Seinfeld goes, did you ever think we were going to get canceled? And he's like, I wished we got canceled every day because I didn't want to come to work anymore.
No, that was something else. I think that was the...
Cars and Coffee?
I don't know.
It was something where, and I just thought that was the best answer. And he's being completely truthful.
That's very George Costanza, which you don't know George Costanza because you don't watch Seinfeld.
I've seen a little bit lately. I've seen a couple of snippets.
Okay, I've been working alongside. I shouldn't say working with, but the wife going through graduate school, which is a long and grueling process, and you got to write these crazy fucking papers on these acute, minute, tiny little details of stories or social situations, or they'll give you like an entire, like the most recent one was Yahya Sisterhood, the Divine Secrets of the Yahya Sisterhood. She had to read the book, focus on one little character, and then give a total case study of that character. So I've been deeply enmeshed in the social, psychological for the last, over the weekend I was, which might have led to some of that crippling depression that I had yesterday. And it occurred to me that you've never seen Seinfeld.
I've seen bits. I know the characters. Like, I understand Michael Richards comes in and everyone cheers and he's weird and eccentric and stuff. And I know that...
Yeah, that's very broad strokes.
I know that George Costanza works for Steinberg.
Steinbrenner. He did one or two seasons. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of stretches that have to be made in these little papers that I shouldn't call them little. I'm not belittling anything that the wife does because she works full time and she's doing shit that I cannot do because she's smarter than I am. And this, I would have given up on graduate school that she's doing right now to get her master's in social work. I would have given up after halfway through the first semester. I would have just said, fuck, this is not for me. But she's doing it. You have to like make reaches and you have to like say, I think that this happened to this character because this happened in her childhood. And yes, there are some parallel and there are some things and there are some connections to be made. But I this sounds so asinine as it comes out of my mouth. But it occurred to me, what is even, I think, possibly as important, Michael, is it, as far as development and what, how I think and in my mind.
Watching Seinfeld.
Television programs or films. Things that you are a subject.
I've seen every
Seinfeld two or three times, right? And there's nine seasons worth. And I equate a lot of things that happen in my everyday life to things that happen on Seinfeld. I learned so much. Not even just Seinfeld. Three's Company. There's tons of examples of things that are in my psyche. And I think you can make a case study for things that are as important and have as much of an impact on a person's life with sitcoms, not even movies, just sitcoms, as like your dad being an alcoholic when you're growing up.
Absolutely.
That sounds crazy. It sounds absurd.
If somebody said you need to read this Shakespeare play and I don't want to, and they went, you know what? Well, that episode of fucking Happy Days is the same story where the hero wanted to do this. You know what I mean? You'd be like, okay, I got the story. Great. It's in. It's forever.
Right.
It's forever embedded in my mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would have no idea. I know it's altered a little bit for the play, but I would have no idea the story of Evita if I didn't see that musical three times.
Why'd you see that three times?
Because I got free tickets. I had free tickets for the
theater. I thought you meant like the movie with Madonna.
No, the actual play, the stage musical. But I had free tickets for a bunch of different performances, and I went once, and I was kind of intrigued, and I went back a second time, and then a third time because I enjoyed it.
You like your plays.
I like some. Some. Plays are much more difficult to understand than musicals.
Hey, I got to figure out what train I should take to get to the Pantages. We'll talk about that hopefully off air.
It's
okay. Well,
there's only one
off air part.
There's only one.
Okay, I just want to bore everyone that doesn't live in LA.
It's not boring. It's exciting.
Okay, where do I hop on the train there, Mikey?
Universal City.
All right, that's still far away from my house.
Linkersham.
Okay.
Okay. There's one closer to your house actually. We were cruising by your neighborhood and found a train station down there.
All right, cool. Because when I just do it, this is. Again, boring, I get that, but I do the little Google Map app, and they have the little fantastic where I can say I'm walking. No, I'm on my bike. No, I'm looking for a route with my car or public transportation.
Yeah.
The public transportation that they suggest for my house is like 3 hours, and it's nothing but buses, and that's not what I want.
Mm-mm.
No.
There's a train station very close to you, probably 5 minutes from you.
Uh-huh. Is it like Amtrak? Is there a steam engine?
Even...
Is there coal?
It does go by you.
It's
the underground subway.
Okay.
But even if you had to drive to Universal or Studio
City.
That's
not so bad. I can do that.
Or North Hollywood.
Yeah.
Because it's the same one. They're like a mile apart. That when you get on that thing and 6 minutes later, you're exiting out of the ground and there's the Pantages directly in front of you. You're going to be like, that was the best ever. I didn't have to park. I didn't have to pay to park. I can drink as much fuck as I want because there's no DUIs in the Valley. Everyone knows.
It's not true.
Wonder how many DUIs are going to be tonight.
Christ.
Because Halloween... Mm-hmm. Did I see you on Halloween for some reason?
I think we did a show Halloween night. We only do shows in here on the big holidays.
We did do a show at midnight, right?
Easter Sunday's coming up. We're going to be in here doing that?
We should.
Yeah, celebrating the Lord's resurrection.
We should.
My dad, here's how little religion I have in my life. I remember quizzing my dad. I used to just quiz my dad to be a dick about things. Sometimes he'd be right.
To humiliate him and make him feel bad?
Sometimes, yeah. But I would just start firing, you know, if he's driving me somewhere. I'm a little kid. And I would just start firing questions. Like, you know, acting like I was the obnoxious kid who didn't know things, but I did. And it was just to try and keep him from yelling at me. I was going on the offense.
So sad.
And I'd be like, Dad, how many years have the Pittsburgh Pirates had a baseball team? That kind of thing. Oh, they're the oldest professional sports team in the world, son.
The Pittsburgh Pirates are?
Yeah, it goes back to like the 1800s. Pittsburgh Pirates is the oldest sports name.
That's not true, because there were sports before baseball.
I know. Those teams don't exist anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Like, the Yankees weren't even the Yankees. They were the Americans or something back then. So the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Wow, I had no idea.
I have a vocal fry thing. I don't like it. It makes me sound like I don't care, but I do.
I have some weird thing right now, and maybe it's the way I'm listening in the headphones, but it sounds like I'm monotone.
What do we celebrate on Easter Sunday, Dad? The death of Christ, son.
That's right.
I'll never let him live that one down.
Hey,
it's not what we're celebrating. It's when he comes back.
Television has formed.
He died on Good Friday, I think.
Most of our thoughts and most of our opinions and most, maybe not opinions, but most of our.
And conspiracy theorists will tell you that they're controlling our minds with this shit. But anyone who's worked in television for any stretch of time and met the fucks at the top knows that's not true. Because they're a bunch of idiots and money hogs there, and all they're looking for is a paycheck. So they don't really care how we think as long as we watch.
Absolutely. How many times is Tyler going to text us?
I don't know. I've gotten one. Maybe.
I've gotten four.
What is he saying? He's out front or some shit? Here, let me in,
bro. Oh, yeah, let me in, bro. I got him.
You going to go get him? No, don't leave me alone with the microphone. I might say things. Okay, disparaging.
I have nothing.
You're much better. No. You can stand on your... All right. I'm going to get down to brass tacks here. All right, let's do the vocal fry thing again. I hate that. So I am dealing with some trauma involving my pup. My pup's name is Stanley, as many of you know. Stanley, little dogs are great, and I think that most people should try and have a little dog if you live in an apartment, which many of us do, especially if you live in a big metropolis area. But small dogs are fantastic if you get one with the right temperament. However, here's a couple major problems with small dogs. No, I'm just talking. I'm waxing poetic. Hi, Ty. Two major problems with small dogs. A, you get one that has a big personality even though they're a little shit. And there's nothing more annoying than that.
No, that's not true. It's not annoying. It's cute.
It's not. It's cute when they're puppies, but once they're like, you're taking them on a walk and they're trying to attack a chocolate lab that's walking by, it fucking looks stupid. And secondly, their teeth, their mouths are really bad. Little dogs are not bred to have healthy teeth for whatever reason.
I wanted to ask you about that because Miranda had so many of Dahlia's teeth pulled, and I always would freak out and go, what do you mean she's getting four teeth pulled? And she's like, the dentist said she had to, and then like a year later, she's having five teeth pulled. I'm like, that's nine.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Well,
as many as Stan.
I think dogs have 36 teeth. I think it's 36. Stan had seven the first time I took him in, then another number that I can't remember. Anyways, this was his fourth time since I've had him, going to the dental vet to have shit taken care of. Cleaned. I said clean, not eradicate.
Mm-hmm.
Would you please clean my dog's teeth? But it's major. You got to put him under anesthesia. And got a call from the doctor yesterday, or well, 2 days ago. Yes, 13 teeth being removed. 13 teeth, and as well as surgery. I don't even want to talk about the money. That's a whole other issue. Speaking of which, to help the process, Film Vault shirts on sale over there, andersonandbryan.com.
We'll also be selling Stan's teeth. You can make a necklace.
I got a picture, though. Should we post it? Of all his teeth.
Out?
Yeah. They brought him in to show me the proof that, hey, we're charging this.
Oh, it's like when they show you the oil filter or the air filter when you get your oil done on your car.
That's just the same set of teeth they show everybody.
They're just plastic.
I realize just how little, I shouldn't say little problems I have in my life, but when I was talking to the vet and I told her, there's a big hole in Stanley, like the part of Stanley's, like the top part of Stanley's mouth where a canine tooth used to be years ago, and they pulled it out, and the hole, it was so big, such a big abscess, it was right after I got him, and it had not been treated for so long, that the hole is still there, so you can actually see inside of his snout, and food gets stuck in there, and I've been pulling stuff out of there and bothering poor Stan with it for years, and when I was talking to the vet, I said,
can't you just put your mouth over his nostrils?
I've done that.
Blow.
I've done that.
Oh, God.
Remember, I was talking about it on the show. I used to like come up with different ways to suck it out.
That's terrible.
Anyways, I was talking to the vet, and as the words were out of my mouth, Tyler, halfway out, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so white and so pathetic. One of the things that bothers me more than anything else in my entire life is that hole in Stanley's mouth, and which is absolutely true. The absolute truth. That's how little, I mean, I should be living in a bush, like worrying about my third child dying of cholera, right? I mean, that's how we're designed. But no, I have a little
pet fox, and he has a hole in his mouth, and that's one of my biggest concerns on a daily basis.
Does it bother him?
Well, that's what happened, was stuff did get in there, and it has got massive bone infection. And
They can't fill that in with something?
They did. They did a surgery, which is one of the reasons why he's in so much pain and he's so fucked up. But I got to, and now you got to give him antibiotics, which is not just a pill, which I could hide in some cheese or something. It's like a syringe type thing that I got to shove in his mouth, yeah. Which has sutures and holes all over it from all the he's got four teeth left.
Oh, my God.
The good ones, the fangs?
Those are long gone.
Where are they?
I don't know. I don't even want to look in there. I haven't looked in there yet because I'm such a pap. But I got to get the syringe, get like 10 cc's or whatever, and shove it in his mouth and then squeeze it so that it shoots down the back of his throat twice a day for 6 weeks.
This is making my teeth hurt so bad.
Poor dog does not. He's we've created such a bond over the last 6 years, and that bond is quickly fading. Every time he sees me coming near him, I got one of these fucking torture devices in my hand to shove down his throat. Oh, that's tough.
Can't do the butt.
I'm gonna ask for something else because I'd rather give him an injection. And he fights me on it. He like flung his body out of Jillian's arms.
Dahlia would fight Miranda every time she brushed her teeth.
And he's such a docile dog, so I know it must really bother him because he doesn't fight me when I brush his teeth.
How often do you brush his teeth?
After they get cleaned, like every day for about 2 weeks, and then once every 3 days.
That's exactly how I would be.
And then once every 2 weeks, and then not at all.
After the first time Dahlia had a bunch of teeth taken out, Miranda started brushing her teeth every single night.
Yeah. Ah, all right, enough of that.
It's a freaking dog. You shouldn't have to brush her teeth.
How often did you start brushing the dog's teeth?
Hey, did you guys see the tiger with the Down syndrome?
Yeah, it's not actually Down syndrome, but...
Well, he's missing... It's from inbreeding.
He has some sort of problem, yeah.
There's a video of him, and just by coincidence, Jillian pulled it up today. They use a Ween country song.
Oh, which one? The rope one? Peeing up a rope?
No, it's on the same album, though. But yeah, this poor tiger looks like he has Down syndrome. Look at him.
He looks kind of like you slammed a soft tiger into a wall.
Yeah, with a frying pan.
Yeah, and now he's got like a bulldog face.
And he's a full-grown tiger?
He's got a bulldog face. That's what he's got.
Is it scarier?
Full-grown tiger.
Is it scarier?
No, it looks really cute. Like, if that came out of the bushes at you while you're hunting, you'd be able to, like, start giggling.
It's like a cartoon tiger. He looks cartoony. And I guess that these fucks in America. It is an American thing. I thought for sure it was going to be somewhere in Asia. Sorry. That's where my mind went. But American, they had two, I think it was brother and sister, white tigers, and they wanted to make sure they got another white tiger because, oh, look, the pigment, it's lighter in that one, so we got to like the white tiger more than the yellow tiger.
And they created a monster.
And they made this lemon-sucking tiger.
You guys, I'm sorry to do what I'm about to do and talk about something that was posted on the internet today.
It's all right.
Did you see half of this show.
But did you see...
Ooh, I want to talk about that.
Did you see that...
The internet.
That small list of, it's called 15 parents were asked, what's the creepiest thing your child has ever said to you?
Yes.
And it's got the answers.
What are they? I have not. Let's hear it.
Okay.
And then can we talk about the Biebs?
When she was about 3 years old, we had a cat that had stillborn kittens. She asked if we could make crosses for them, which I did. And as I was making them, she said, aren't those too small? And I said, what do you mean? And she said, aren't we going to nail them to them? And I said, we're not going to do that. And she said, oh.
I can see that if you're like a Catholic and you go and you
okay, here's one.
Gaze
here's
on
a good one.
Jesus' pinned body every day.
Parents said to their child.
Every Sunday.
How about this? I was tucking in my two-year-old and he said, goodbye, Dad. And I said, no, we say good night. And he said, I know, but this time it's goodbye. Go back to bed. There isn't anything under your bed. And the child's response was, he's behind you now.
Oh!
Yeah, that's terrible.
There's a whole bunch of
chills.
Them, and
chills.
It gave me chills. There's a lot of them like the three-year-old holding the newborn baby and daddy, it's a monster. We should bury it and stuff like that.
That's another reason why not to have kids.
My toddler went through a phase where she would just consistently say hi to things. Hi. One day it started sounding like die. And I said, what's that you're saying? And she turned her face towards mine and whispered, die.
Oh my God.
I went to this annoying child, not cute at all, to horrified.
They really, I read them all. There's 15 of them. And I was like, oh, it's giving me the chills. Because my cousin, or my nephew, when he was 4, turned to me and went, if my parents die, you get me, and we are going to have some fun. And, like, in front of everybody. And he goes, we are going to have some fun.
He's probably right. That was probably a true statement.
Yeah.
First, you guys start boozing it up because of the depression of his parents being dead.
Yeah. And then you could go shoot guns in the basement.
Then the fun starts.
Which is true. You do shoot guns in the basement, right?
Can
the
bring Corona up something? Household?
That's true, right?
Yes, we do. Past that. Yes, we do. It's not a basement, but yes, we do. My dad will pull out an actual gun and set up a target across the room.
And the bullets fly back at you sometimes.
I swear to God, the honest to God truth, he'll pull out a fucking .22, mm-hmm. and the target is about a foot. It's a circle. It's a man's foot target.
A man's circle foot?
Fuck that big around.
Foot long.
Be surprised what
comes
into a
pawn
shop.
From here to that far wall away.
Okay, we're talking 20 feet here.
And it's down an aisleway, it's down a walkway, and he'll set up the gun with a scope and hand it to a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
And he'll shoot at it where if he's off by an incremental amount, right. That could go ricocheting back at us.
Or what if he misses it altogether? Where does it go behind? Like, what's
it's
behind
a cement
the target?
Wall.
Okay.
Where'd
your dad grow up?
The last two times it's happened.
Yukon territory?
Huge family fight broke out in the last 3 years.
To two families, like your neighbors and
no,
you guys?
They can't hear. The room is solid.
The Hatfields
cement.
And the Macaronos.
It's like a little warehouse that's underneath, and it's solid cement.
Sounds like a basement.
It's street level.
A warehouse underneath the second floor? We call that the first floor.
The point is, both times, blowout between my brother and my dad, with my brother going, he's got to wear safety goggles. My dad's like, no, he doesn't.
Yeah,
my brother's like, he's not doing it unless he wears safety goggles. My dad's like, that's bullshit. He's not wearing fucking goggles. My brother's like, he's not doing it then. Let's go. We're going.
Why do I feel like I've seen video of this?
It's because I videotaped part of it. And
look at how pleased he is.
Family dinner, and my dad will come walking out of the bedroom with a fucking shotgun and another rifle going, let's go downstairs.
If the first time that footage was seen was, exhibit A, Mr. Crono, would you press play on the tape for
us? Hey, the pictures I posted years ago that I felt bad about and took down, it's a 7-year-old with a fucking rifle looking through a scope inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is totally inappropriate.
Yeah.
It's not like we live out in the fucking desert. It's
or
at the beach.
1950s.
Or the 1850s.
But I will say, my dad's attitude about stuff like that did make for having a fun childhood. Because when I was a little kid, I said, can we run a rope from the very tippity top of the roof to the other side of the yard and get like a pulley and I can ride it through the yard? And he's like, yes.
Zip
and he built it. Yeah.
That's pretty
He made
cool.
it.
Yeah.
And I was a little teeny kid. I was probably five or six. And I had a 12-foot-tall ladder that was permanently against the roof for me to climb up there and ride through the yard on it.
How long did it take to wear off the funness?
Well,
before you wanted to build those all over town?
It was fun for a while, for longer than you think. Like probably a good. It was fun for like a couple of days, like every 20 minutes.
I had friends like you growing up. We go over and they'd have shit like that in their backyard. Yeah. They'd also have fridges filled with beers that their parents drank so many of they couldn't notice if there was like 8 gone.
And a couple of the cars in the back lot.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just slowly rusting out.
I met a guy who's a farmer who has a cattle farm or grew up in a family of farmers, and he was telling me the ins and outs of. He gets a side of beef every year from his family, and his family
eats it
over the course of the next year. And I was like, "How do you transport it?" And he goes, "I throw it in the back of my truck," and he goes, "It's a 5-hour drive," and he goes, "I'll do it right in the middle of summer." He goes, "It's not going to go bad. It's not bad."
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me this big. He gave me the lowdown on meat and how to freeze it and everything.
He gets 450
pounds of meat.
Did you go out to Costco and buy a side of cow?
No, but I like this idea of getting a whole side, and then you have a butcher cut it up, and they individually wrap everything, and you put it in a giant freezer.
Giant freezer. In the basement, next to the guns.
And then you never have to buy meat, even though I don't really buy meat, except for when I go to restaurants.
And then when you kill a hobo, you have somewhere to keep them.
Ah, underneath the other meat. The dogs can't smell it.
It's
perfect.
I've become obsessed, and the obsession's now over, even though it continues to linger, but I've completed the entire series, which is for what they have to offer thus far, which is House of Cards, which we should all be supporting, House of Cards.
It's so good.
We should all be supporting what Fuckflix is trying to do, which is create their own content and give it directly to the consumer for a reasonable price, as well as offer other things, so we're not beholden to these fucks
and,
that
you know
are
they really
the cable
do,
companies.
And they don't give studio notes. They're the first time ever that a television production company doesn't get notes.
I have no interest in watching Orange is the New Black, despite the fact that I've heard plenty of good things about it. I will, just to support the cause. Let me tell you, I've been putting the House of Cards off for a long time, because what could be more dull and boring than a bunch of Washington fat cats greasing each other's palms and giving each other reach arounds? Finally bought in, like I said somewhere else before, but you figure out in the first 20 minutes what the show is.
Mm-hmm.
When he breaks the fourth wall right off the bat and tells you, and Francis starts talking to you, Francis Underwood, who is Kevin Spacey. And now I've talked to some of the younger generation about this program, about this this House of Cards, and they say that it starts to get a little bit dull and dry. So it's not fast-paced, but it's shot and played out like a thriller.
Do you feel that? Because I don't feel that.
I think it's because we're a little older.
I have a lot of friends that like it who are my age. My contemporaries.
I think it's as good of storytelling on TV as there has ever been.
Here's the thing. I hate politics. I'm bored by them. I think that they're a sham. I know that they're all fucking liars. And it's like everyone's just acting like they're on a first date nonstop throughout their entire fucking lives. Oh, another thing came up is political correctness. Okay, it's as clear as day that you have to be politically correct if you're in office, running for office, you work on the Hill, you are in politics. You have to be politically correct. When did it make the leap? And I've talked about this before. When the fuck did it make the leap to us? Why do we all have to be political? I'm not running for office.
You're running for the office of life, Anderson.
It's gone amok.
I don't want to be.
Everybody's voting constantly.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, you missed the part earlier, Ty, where
everybody's offended.
Today is St. Patrick's Day, and I said it's offensive in the same sense that if we had a day to celebrate some kind of black holiday, everyone just wears afros and smokes crack. You missed that part, Ty.
And gets obnoxiously wasted.
Darn. Well, they're wasting on the crack.
Okay, I think that show is one of the most well-done TV shows I've ever seen.
So it's shot like a thriller, even though people aren't dying left and right, but we've kind of been conditioned to believe that, you know, everyone's going to die at every turn, because that's how much shit TV will tell you. But it's really, really good. But first of all, I'll talk to you about this briefly, Mike, but and Tyler, I don't think this goes for you, but
have you seen it?
No, it's on the list. Be it's good. Like the next thing to
it's
do.
It's 26 chapters, bro.
I know, bro.
Each one's an hour.
I did.
Find 26 hours of your life.
I did read an
interesting
article
towards Francis.
Of a TV critic who wondered if people would like it as much if they couldn't binge, and whether or not it's actually that good of a show.
I believe it is.
By episode.
I believe it is.
But he's probably just an old fuddy-duddy.
Yeah.
It's a good point. There's a lot of cliffhangers where you have to watch the next one, but it's been so long since I've watched a show traditionally where you have to wait till the next week, and I don't like that. And you know what? There's so much going on with this show. I don't know if you'd be able to remember all the... I found myself old man in it to the wife going, hey, Jillian, why are they talking to that guy?
Old manning it.
Yeah. Who's that guy?
Here's why.
Why do they care about what he thinks again?
I believe that show, there's the possibility exists that show is smarter and better than other TV shows because... Although I never saw The West Wing, we watched the first season
similar
of
in tone.
House of Cards, and then I watched
much darker.
An episode and a half of West Wing, but West Wing seems so juvenile, so basic
really?
Compared to this.
When you go back?
Yeah.
Okay.
It seems so simple in West Wing
is what I remember most of.
It seemed like it was for dumb people compared to House of Cards, which seems...
House of Cards, they don't catch anyone up. There's no pandering. None. I was lost half the time. I'll admit that. I was like, what? There's so many moving parts, but it's fucking stimulating and it's great. And here's the best part. If you hate Washington and you hate the whole idea of it, you don't know much about it, chances are you know way more about it than I do because I'm a dumb fuck. And
I don't know anything about it.
I like to not know about it. I
know more about
ignorance.
It because of House of Cards than I ever knew before.
I felt like I got a crash course lesson on how things work. Now, yes, of course, it's dramatized and there's a lot of Hollywood bullshit in there. I'm sure. I'm sure of it. Absolutely. And there's a couple things that are so Hollywood.
I think you're saying that just to be on the safe side, even though I think both of us think that might be closer to how it is.
Here's the best thing, though. It opens up, and I'm not giving anything away. Tyler, that adds nothing because that's like patriotic happy music.
Yeah, that's the irony.
It opens up with old Francis Underwood getting fucked. All right, he's an evil master manipulator, a smart politician. The rest of the episode, the rest of the 26 episodes, is just him getting vengeance on all of the fucks that he works with on the Hill, just manipulating. And he's the most evil of all. But since he talks to you, you root for him.
Yeah,
You know that he's despicable, evil, horrible, but he talks directly to you. He turns to the camera and he talks to you like you're important.
Can I?
That's all it takes for me.
I'm going to say something.
I'm a fucking narcissist, and now I love and I put all my hope and trust in Francis.
I hope.
And I'm hoping that he succeeds, even though like he's fucking over innocent people who are trying to make a difference.
Here's the revelation I had about that show that was sort of shocking to me was, and I think it took 3 episodes or 4 episodes for this to appeal to me, or to appear to me, is that I didn't get what was really happening. I didn't know what his relationship with anybody was. And then I realized he and his wife have a 100% honest relationship.
Yeah.
And that,
business relationship.
Yes.
It's his ultimate business relationship in his life. And but entire life is set up by business
relationship. He's not hiding any. He hides nothing from her. And I thought that was the most interesting part of the show, was the fact that they have... they have a relationship that none of us could have.
Now, here's where I started playing this little game, Ty-Ty. And I think that I could have that relationship.
No, you couldn't.
Later in life, maybe.
Where you're fucking some...
Okay, careful. I could work it out with somebody like-minded. I hope Jillian never hears. I think you gotta
You mean like you could have that?
Yeah, I'm not going to with my current setup. I need a new setup, but
yeah. Yeah. Okay. So could I. Yeah. I thought you meant like right now.
I think if you really care, it's weird. If you really care about someone, you're really, really in a relationship where there's no jealousy, it could almost work. It's the sick relationships where there's unjust jealousy and you're trying to protect them from things that don't even really exist.
Well, see, the thing is, the stuff that I'm talking about and getting away with, and
we can't talk about it without giving away too much.
But you slide on because you have this honest relationship with your wife. That stuff doesn't come into play when it's pleasure. It's all business.
Right, and you go straight to the source and you're like, we're going to talk about this and get it out of the way so it can't fuck us up and derail us later.
Yeah.
Which is what most relationships are derailed by, jealousy or actual acts of cheating. And these two figured out that they're much more important to each other in a business standpoint.
Yes.
To let any of that fuck. I think that that's based on some reality too. And there has been some talk that maybe Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton had a similar arrangement.
Well, there are people that I know of who do have that arrangement.
And do they work out? Okay.
I don't know, because I don't really know them.
And you're talking about Gene Simmons, yes?
What? No, I'm talking about someone who's probably... I'll talk about it after the show.
Okay. That's always good. Well, for the show.
Did people know that Bono has an open relationship, with his wife?
Bono and his sunglasses.
I know, but him and his wife have an agreement. And
wouldn't you have if you were his wife? I want the money, but I don't want to fuck you every time.
Bono. I want the money, but I don't know. I think I just go, I'll cash out.
That's true. You could always do that.
Like, what's the
point
of being
changing
married
the world, man. They're Bono and his wife are making the world. Hey, Mick Jagger's girlfriend killed herself.
I know, I saw that.
Okay, back to the point of House of Cards. Started playing this game with myself, Ty-Ty. And I think Mike and I are on the same page once again, but I don't think you could play this game. Plus, you've never seen the show, so.
But can you watch some by next week?
Make it harder to play.
Start watching immediately.
I have so many shows.
Stop it.
This is work.
Just work-related. Tell your boss that you... Oh, I thought that was that's not an NBC show?
That Netflix show?
I can say I was watching it for competitive analysis.
There you go.
To be able to play this game with us, I think you only need to watch 3 episodes.
How do you know what game
3 episodes,
he's going to...
Because we talked about it.
Oh.
There's literally dozens of characters on this show and moving parts and things going on all over the place. And you got to pay attention. And there's all of them have jobs. That's the one thing they all have in common. There's not one person
who... James?
I hate shows and movies, by the way, that they're just... It's about people that don't have jobs. I fucking hate those. You know, Victorian era movies where they just all wander around and fall in love nonstop and drink.
Just go hunting and
sword fighting, and then they go kill a unicorn.
There's movies that kind of like modern day movies too, like contemporary movies, like that movie, The Comedy. The dude just is rich. He just wanders around. Eric.
I hated that
Heidecker.
Movie.
Oh, so depressing.
Yeah.
Movie is awful. God awful. Yeah. Hey, look, we have free camera equipment. We'll just let the camera roll. These guys are funny and they're trying to do something new and dramatic.
It was so cruel.
Go.
It was just so disturbing to watch.
It was. Don't watch.
I don't even know if it was awful. I just hated it. I hated that.
There was nothing
vibe
creative but there are things that I will never forget that I saw in that movie. Yeah, I can say that about A Day at the DMV too. Who cares?
Or A Day with the Boys.
Oh, A Day with the Boys. Have you seen that yet?
Yes.
Did you enjoy it as much as
I didn't enjoy it as much as you did?
A lot of mixed reviews on A Day with the Boys.
Didn't enjoy it as much.
A lot of mixed reviews.
New York 77 though. I only watched the part one, but I dug it.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
That New York documentary that I told you to watch.
Oh, you told him to watch it, so I was offended.
And I told you both. Turned after my ears you off. Were like, excuse me, I would like that film too.
Okay, House of Cards.
All right, so here's the game. Watch it. All like I said, everyone's got
the game
jobs.
Is, we're not going to tell you what it is. You have to write all in this, next week and tell us what game you think Anderson is proposing.
One single job on that show have I seen. And I saw all 26 episodes. I started playing this game with myself about episode 14 or 15 in. Could I do that job effectively or even half? No. No. Could I do that job for maybe an hour? Could I fill in for that person for an hour? Nope.
And he told me that, and I started thinking about it. I'm like, okay, nope. I'm out there. Nope. And I'm not even talking about could I do it, like stomach it. I'm talking about do I have the mental capacity to do it?
It's got to be like some drivers, right?
There's no job. No.
Oh, that's true.
No, the security guy.
The security guy.
I couldn't do that.
I couldn't do his job.
You were hanging out all night in front of his house.
Oh, that's what it made me occur. Because there was this job where there was a team of security guards who were supposed to watch like screens, just monitors, right? And it was like around the vice president or around the president, around some dude's house. It was around some important politician's house. And they're watching, and they saw this guy in an alley. You could barely see him. And I just looked at Jillian, and I'm like, my God, if I had that job, I would watch that screen so intently for like the first two, three, maybe 4 days. By like week two, I'd be playing solitaire. I'd be on the phone with you. I'd be writing scripts in the corner. I would glance over every now and again. I would be terrible at that job. And then that's what got me thinking. I'm like, wait, I'd be terrible at all these jobs. Not a single job, Ty. Not a single one.
Not a single job for me that takes place inside the walls.
There's nobody
of the
that
Capitol.
Just like gets coffee for him. Like a page?
They don't pay any attention to that person.
The person that gets coffee gets promoted, and then she is now possibly in Congress.
Mike? Spoilers.
Okay, here's the closest thing. There's a whore.
You know what?
That's the closest one.
I didn't think about that.
Rachel's the closest one that I could be.
I didn't
think And I would not that. Enjoy it, but I could probably pull
could
it
Could you
off.
Just be one of the nice people who gets fucked over?
No, because they know what they're doing. Mm. And not even that they know what they're doing. I wouldn't be able to be in that world for long enough to even half know what I was doing because I don't fucking care. It's all so ugly and so self-serving and so manipulative-minded. Like, and there's all sorts of lies being told nonstop, right? So I'll ask you a question point blank. Like, Tyler, why couldn't you get in here for the beginning of the show tonight at 8
o'clock? I was helping my grandmother make gingerbread for her birthday.
Okay, well, see, that's bullshit.
What?
But if you gave me the actual answer.
Oh, you want the real answer?
Yeah.
How does it work?
If I was on the show right now, if I was on House of Cards, I would just completely go right past that answer and I would dig deeper. Like, they were constantly giving plausible answers that would clear everything up.
Yeah, yeah.
But everyone knows everyone's lying, so they continue. I'm like, so many times I look at Jillian, I'm like, that was a fine answer, that lie. I would totally buy that and just move on to the next thing. I'd apologize for doubting them, and I'd take them out to lunch because I'd be guilty. I'd be so bad at all of it. It's so great looking in a window.
I appreciate your work, Tyler, but I need to know what kind of work you were doing today, because I feel it may have been in line with what I was doing. Were you in your garden picking fresh vegetables like I was?
There's times at work where like something will happen, and I realize like this is one of those moments where if you were like an evil dick, you could fuck someone over to like try to like climb the ladder, and it creeps me out that people would.
Yeah,
would do that.
Yeah,
that I could recognize those moments and
they
be
will,
like,
they do.
"No, I would actually."
Hey, is
never
there a way
that.
We can like come up with a fail safe on
Thank
how we
God
expose?
God, you're gonna follow us into the down the road of not being successful, wealthy entrepreneurs.
You know what?
Thank God.
Oh dear.
If we did come up with a way, like let's say where we could actually make a bunch of money because there was some kind of app or some kind of blog, some kind of way that we could just expose, like the entire thing is exposing your fellow worker for doing things like that to prevent those kinds of things happening in the workplace. You know what happened? Almost immediately. People would start using it to benefit themselves and making up lies.
Yeah,
that's it would become like Robespierre all over again.
Exactly.
is that French guy in like the 1800s or 1700s, and everyone was like lying and saying that, oh, he's a traitor, and then they just go kill that guy, and then if you just didn't like somebody, you could say, oh, he's a traitor. And
I like know the Salem witch hunt. Who you're talking about, Tyler. Don't patronize me.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you said Robespierre?
Yeah. First of all, you mispronounced it.
I'm kidding. I have no idea who you're talking about.
Come on, dude.
I'm sorry, what?
So.
Pronounce it correctly for me?
Robespierre.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the witch hunt where you could just, you had a small gap, a small window of opportunity where you could just accuse somebody of something and the mob just went berserk and killed them. And you're like, that was amazing.
It was easy.
Yeah.
Took care of that problem.
Like 2 years later, it wasn't as easy. She's a witch. Yeah, you know what? This lasts like four people. I don't know, man.
The little man that cried witch.
Yeah. The little man they cried witch.
So on this here program, not to like spend the entire AD program talking about the House of Cards program, but
they talk about us a lot on their show, on their podcast.
I can see that.
Hey, I gotta say that there's a lot of cool things, like when you get your name dropped somewhere, that's pretty fucking cool. And I know this is such a crazy reach, obviously, but how excited would we be if all of a sudden Kevin Spacey was listening to a podcast and he set his like phone down and it was the AD?
Not Scarborough or CNN. Like they do watch a lot of shit.
Yeah.
They're watching TV a lot, but it's always that boring, dry bullshit.
Has to be.
We should do a really dry, boring podcast.
Like, I see stuff that I've seen on C-SPAN before, but obviously they do it the Hollywood style, and it's fucking exciting, Tyler. When they're voting on shit, you're like, oh my God! Ah, oh, which way's it gonna go?
And it's then like, 7 hours later, it's still happening.
You're it like, is really right. interesting how they talk about it as though it's sports, though. It's very, very similar to sports.
It's
win, lose, loss, win, lose. And a lot of the idiots that follow it, like, I shouldn't say idiots, but a lot of the well-informed, smart people amongst us that follow mm-hmm. it, they treat it like sports because they don't like sports.
Because it is a sport. Because if you're going to take things to heart like we do, you're going to be depressed and want to kill yourself all the time when you realize people are evil.
That's
when you realize
thing,
they're
yeah.
liars and cheaters.
Idealized.
It is a sport for those people because they're just viewing it from the outside because it's interesting to them to watch. It's the Coliseum.
Like
it's
if you fucking, showed somebody like two...
it's a fight.
Two ferns and they just saw it as a political agenda or something, right?
Yes.
I'm not bringing up anything detail-wise, but like that kind of...
I talked about it. No, I didn't.
It's anyone who would watch Between Two Ferns and think that it's a political agenda yeah. thinks that... I'm not saying that they're a bad person, but they just think of politics as sports.
Yes. No, I don't even know if it's that good. Because that's more positive than what I think. I think people that are totally into politics cannot get themselves into it because they would be heartbroken. Right? Like if we were into politics and we follow politicians and we were really into it, we would be bad people because we would be watching people destroy other people.
But they don't ever admit to that.
Doesn't matter. You know it's happening. If somebody votes something down that's going to help out a community that needs the help drastically and you know people are going to die because they're not going to get aid for something, you can't just view that from an outsider's. It's the Coliseum completely. It's you know people are going to get killed, and it's probably wrong that they're down there getting killed. You know the higher ups are, you know, waving their hand and making things happen that are affecting the little guys. It's easy to watch from an outsider's perspective, but to actually get your heart into it.
And once your heart gets into it, it's so easy to make everything black and white, where they're wrong and you're right. And it becomes like religion, and everyone gets into politics saying that they're just trying to make a difference, but most of them aren't, as far as I can tell. You know what it's like? All of House of Cards is like the fifth season of The Wire.
Oh.
It's very similar in tone. It's very, very similar.
Have you ever been to a live boxing match, Tyler
yes.
Anderson?
Downtown yes. LA.
Okay, so here's my experience is disturbing, upsetting yeah. for the first
Dude.
2 minutes. What's and then worse, all of a sudden I turn and I'm into it completely.
Yeah.
So that initial, like this is two human beings punching themselves in the face and there's sweat flying everywhere and it's gross. And then all of a sudden I'm like,
that's what concerns you, the sweat that's flying everywhere?
The first time I ever went to a professional boxing match, my dad put us in the front row. My sister and I, we were little kids. The first guy hit the other guy, and we got sprayed with his sweat, and my sister started crying, and I didn't want to cry because I was a boy. But it was one of the most unsettling experiences of my life.
Said it was the sweat
I got drenched
face.
With some stranger's sweat from a boxing ring.
Ty, before the show takes a left turn, I've been trying to get to this for 20 minutes, believe it or not. But the one part that came up in the show that made me think of you, and you might be able to shed some light on this, is a hacker gets involved, and they start dealing with Dr. Drew's joined the program, by the way. Hello, Drew. Turn on Drew's mic. It's something Tyler has to do.
What makes you think I joined?
Well, you sat down just at the console.
Do you watch House of Cards?
No, he has not. I've been bugging about him for a couple weeks now. Yeah.
It might be your favorite show.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah,
I think you'd like it more than Mad Men. It doesn't have the nostalgia that Mad Men does, but it has like a future nostalgia for you. Is there a word for that?
It's much
that's okay,
more
because Mad Men's more 70s.
Drew's
going to
get more political as things go on here.
You
I can tell. Yeah, I can tell. But we need a shining, a white knight. Somebody who appears as a white fox knight.
What the fuck?
All right, so Ty, listen to this. A hacker gets involved, and there's some jargon, some computer jargon that's mm-hmm. talked about. And apparently 90% of the internet is not accessible through search engines. And most of it's garbage and most of it's shit. But
the deep net? Are you talking about the deep net?
Yes, the deep net.
What is the deep net?
Exactly.
The deep net is real. That's
right.
Real.
What most is of it? It's most what of it's it? Just like dead programs and shit
yes.
that's out there that you
it's
can't
just,
access.
It's billions of things that are online
that are dead
don't have a use to most people.
They've never been indexed.
They're not indexed on Google. They're not indexed. And that's also, I think, 90%. If I'm not mistaken, where that drug dealing site was located.
The Silk Road.
Silk Road?
Yeah.
Totally. We can buy bombs or drugs.
Bitcoins,
or...
by the way, the guy that invented it lives in my parents'
city. No, he's denying it. He's been denying it
for like a week.
Well, yeah. Wouldn't you deny it?
No.
Dude, the Asian dude?
Yeah.
Just because he's Asian, Tyler, doesn't mean that he did it. What? That he's smart enough.
Well, I just was happy to see my little shitty town in a newspaper or something.
Okay, I have a
So wait, it's like the human brain, though, right? Like, we only use 10% of the human brain. 90% of it's just like useless floating information. The internet's the exact same thing. It's all beginning, right?
What?
It's all beginning, like with cyborgs. It's like they're more like the internet is like the human mind.
Of course.
That's where it all starts. And then they get artificial intelligence and take us over.
It's gone from nothing to an amazing amount of information in a short period of time. Right. Where ever virtually since Al Gore, any memory you have as a child, you could punch it into Google and find some reference to it or some photograph of it. Right. That's insane. Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
My thing the other day was me and Lauren kept going, ha-cha-cha-cha, and I couldn't figure out what that was. Jimmy Durante. I know it's some sort of cartoon.
Jimmy Durante.
Yeah, based on him. But all I had to type in was, a-cha, in Google, and it was like, a-cha-cha-cha cat cartoon. I was like, click, yep, there it is, a clip on YouTube. Instant gratification about anything that's like scratching your brain.
Okay, here's a conversation I think Dr. Drew should be involved in. I very serious inquiry. I was on a hike today talking to a friend, and she said there's a college at her college, there was a message board, and she said one of the girls posted, I'm overweight, I'm not attractive, I've only gotten laid twice since I've been at college, and both guys said I have the most amazing vagina. And I said, well, first of all, she's gotten laid more than most guys.
I was not predicting that.
Most guys
in college, yes.
Yeah, so already she's gotten two down. So we started talking about that, and I brought up a theory that I haven't thought through, but I wondered what you thought about this.
Wait, a half-cooked theory from Mike Carano?
Is it about fat vaginas?
Go ahead, I'm listening. Okay. All ears.
When you look at a person who's very attractive, and I'm talking about the whole package, nice hair, nice skin, nice face shape, nice body shape, nice butt.
All of our wives
nice
and
breasts,
girlfriends.
Nice teeth.
Nice cover.
Is it wrong or right for me to assume that she probably has a more than average, an attractive vagina?
You get to assume that.
And then my friend said that's not at the case at all. She said, because that's an organ. She goes, that's not the same. And I go, no. She has beautiful eyes, beautiful teeth, beautiful bone structure.
What is an attractive vagina?
Well,
I know,
but girls, especially young girls now, believe their vagina is not as attractive as other girls.
Because
there's articles written about it.
True, it makes sense. There's
articles written about it.
There's so much shaving going on now, and there's so much porn going on now that they're looking at that way more than ever before. Yes. Back in
and they believe if their vagina is darker in color, that it's malfunction. I have this conversation with young.
We hear it on Loveline all the time. People, girls call up, and they're all worried about their labes.
It's insane.
No, I agree it's insane.
But it's not that insane.
Yes, it is. It's insane.
True, it's a different era. I mean, you grew up when everyone had like double Merkins down there, right? You couldn't see anything that was going on.
I hope
you're
just
there.
Being
double
polemic.
Merkin is a good band name.
Mike's era as well. Like I didn't see actually how a vagina works until I saw a porn. Way too early of an age, but I had no idea that all that flap and all that stuff was like a horror film.
I've done like a million pelvic exams. A million.
You're a doctor.
I know. It's all basically the same.
No, because they got the innies and the outies.
No, please.
Oh, they got the hot dog, and
stop
they got.
Stop it!
It's true.
I won't allow you.
No, I'm gonna. I think you're mistaken on this one because I've seen.
I'm mistaken.
I've seen a few vaginas. And they all look very different.
They're all very different.
Probably different. They're fine though.
Yeah, but some are more attractive than others. In
Drew's
the eyes
got
the of
idea
the, in like the eyes of certain, like you might have your type of vagina. Okay.
Here's what it is. Okay,
good thing there's four guys talking about this.
If you really think your vagina is gonna put you over the edge. One way or the other, you got some serious problems. Same thing if you're a guy that doesn't have microphallus, but you think your dick's too small. Same thing. You got something more going on.
That's right.
But that doesn't take away from the fact that there are different vaginas. Some are better looking than others. And the girl that's in Margot, whatever her name is, in Wolf of Wall Street, she was cast because she has a beautiful vagina. I believe that. Her vagina's perfect.
Did they show it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they showed it.
Why did I watch that again?
I'm getting back up.
Wait.
Why? Just because you disagree with the
okay? Let me take it to an even crazier.
Why don't we talk about their livers or their spleen?
That's what I was just gonna say. Let's say, would you say as a doctor,
how's their cervix look? The cervixes are all different woman, too. You know, they're very different. Some are long, some are short, some are round, some are fat.
Hey,
cervix all
parts,
different.
If once we get the cameras and they start going up there in porns, that's the girls gonna be talking about that.
Hey, you know what I saw yesterday?
That's actually
Target?
Been around for a while, Tyler. They put little flashlights on the end of a dildo.
I mentioned this on my podcast, but I saw a girl that was at that perfect. That perfect
Oh, careful, Mike. Tread lightly, my
that
friend.
Doesn't matter how old she
14.
Was. Or any
oh, my
that.
God. It's so much worse than you just said.
Yeah,
that.
I know.
What? Start playing the music.
No. Here's what I'm saying is.
Gotta get out of here by
9:15. I saw this, the rare breed of human being that is right at the precipice. They could go either way. Like this girl could either go to I'm the dorkiest, weirdest looking bird human or stunning supermodel. Like I saw her at that point right in the middle. And I was like, this isn't weird. Because you looked at her and you could tell she's very tall.
It's going to take personality.
She was like exotic looking. But I could tell she could go either way. Totally weird or just stunning when she's like an adult.
That's the point of the story was what? Hey, I want to talk about the Biebs. I want to talk about the Biebs and his deposition.
I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it.
Have you seen the deposition?
Yeah.
You don't like him? It makes me like him so much more. He is hilarious. Yeah.
I love him.
Wow, that's scary about you.
Is it really?
Yeah.
He is so funny.
No. That's not him being funny. That's him being a sociopath.
He's serious.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah, he's a funny character. I don't have to live with him. This kid is awesome. He's punk rock. This is the most punk rock.
No, see,
that's not punk rock. That's just punk.
Yeah, just punk.
He's not like the Australian kid that threw the part in isn't going to take his shades off. That kid's awesome.
Yeah.
That kid's a dick, but he's awesome.
This is a film?
Yeah.
Is this
Bieber's arrogant and he's a douchebag. That's not the same as being cool.
Have you ever been to Australia? I don't know. Have I? Okay. Fuck off.
He's in a court of law. He's waiting a deposition.
I know. No respect. He's Canadian. He doesn't have to have respect for our laws.
No.
Untouchable. Yeah. I think he's hilarious.
Wait, he's untouchable. How's he untouchable?
It's a civil
court. Yeah, it's a civil court. You know what? I was watching it thinking that he was doing this to the DA or something, which made me like him a whole lot more. Once I realized it was civil, it made me like him a little less. But yeah, ultra douche, ultra power. But yeah, I think most people would act fairly similar if they were put in that position.
Oh my God, I've been in a position so much worse than that so many times.
You were not a 17-year-old having literally tons of vagina
thrown at
you.
That's the point. That's what makes him a douche.
I've been deposed and you're scared shitless and you just, it's all
you.
Yes
were not, you didn't grow up as Bieber.
I understand we'd be douches too, but we're not. And that's why he's a douche. It's sad.
You wouldn't act like that if you were being deposed. You would be completely.
Because I didn't grow up as Bieber. If I grew
Anderson
up as Bieber.
Anderson saw Sweet Threesome's golden shark earring Anderson and was like, yes, this guy's awesome.
I was telling Jillian, I'm like, I can hang out in his crew. She's like, you're 40 years old. You're not going to hang out in his crew.
His dad hangs out in his crew.
I know. His dad does, huh? Gives him the drugs.
Do think it would be funny if we got to hang out in this crew for
I
one night.
I wanted to dissect the two-minute version that they had on TMZ, because there were some very funny moments in there.
Has anyone been in trouble for leaking that tape?
He's like, watch this. I can't recall.
Terrible.
He looks at the camera and winks.
You know what I did see when I was watching it? I was like, this is going to be a great role someday that like Justin Timberlake's going to play.
Yes.
It would be hilarious.
Great
and
idea.
Awesome.
Great idea.
Terrible as a real person.
Wait, Timberlake is older than him. He can't
twice
play
his age. Three times his age.
But you can see someone like him
like that,
playing
yeah.
that character.
It's for one of the first times ever I'm kind of interested to see where this I haven't for a while, where he's going to go.
Yeah.
I don't really care. I get sad about like the Lindsays and like when it's just hardcore drug abuse and stuff. This guy isn't drug
he's
abuse.
Different. No,
it's
he's
different.
Not.
It's different. And the first time I ever heard of him, I came to you bitching about him. I fucking hate it. 5 years ago, Drew. I'm like, he was talking about his picture on the cover of People magazine. Yeah. And he tweeted about it. Yeah. I'm like, this is the worst human being I've ever. But I've turned the corner. It's going to be fun to watch
that.
Mike, can you continue this podcast?
I've turned the corner as well because
I've turned the corner too. I can't believe
he loves Miley Cyrus.
Can't be in the room.
I was disinterested in him.
Miley too.
I was disinterested in him.
Oh, you know what puts me over the edge with him is he, like Miley, he gives it his all. He has tons of fucking talent. That kid can dance and he can sing and he probably might be able to write. Maybe. Probably not.
I'm behind Miley because she appears to try to pull it together.
That's what I'm
and
saying.
She gave 100% on SNL.
All right.
And she didn't do it with arrogance. And she
I agree.
Didn't, she,
I agree.
She didn't do it with pride. I don't like him. I didn't care about him. I was indifferent. And now I want him out to fail. I don't want to hear about him because he's a douche. He's a dick.
Who is he doing, who he's not he doing a good that person. For, I wonder? Because like, he knew that people were going to see that. Was he doing it for his 15-year-old fans, girl fans?
He was doing it because he really felt that contempt. He really felt contempt for the people in the system.
Right.
Now, I understand you get frivolous lawsuits that are a pain in the ass and the attorneys poking at you. Right. I understand. It's awful. But,
wait, I just realized Mike is making all these judgments, and because of this deposition, he no longer likes him. He opened up by saying, I haven't seen it. You haven't seen it.
It's not just. It's not.
Oh,
it's
he'll
not,
go nuts when he does.
It's
though.
Not just the deposition. It's the everything over the past 2 months.
They
I don't
ask
like
him.
Okay,
ask
real
him.
Quick before you take the headphones off. Okay, so we sort of agree to. No, we don't agree. We sort of disagree.
Jesus,
but
that.
We. Okay, vaginas.
We're going back.
Are we, I thought we'd go back.
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder when it comes to the vagina.
We don't have time because I have to do a mad.
Now.
Hey, if you like
because
what's
my opinion, my true opinion is. All vaginas are good vaginas.
Yeah, I was going to say, you'd have to really hold
testicles.
Yeah,
but every now and again.
Yeah. Testicles have to go held to the same standard.
But every now and again, like tentacles are coming out of there, and it's bad times.
If I'm going to say all vaginas are good vaginas, then who am I to judge breasts? and some breasts are way better than others.
That's a wholly different matter.
Why is that a different matter?
It's only 2 feet away.
Drew, what would you rather look at, a vagina or a boob?
Boob, because...
I'd rather look at a vagina.
Good question.
I'd rather look at a vagina.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an interesting question.
It is weird, isn't it?
Hey, why do they have topless joints and also full nude? Who goes to the full nude where you can't drink?
You say
why?
Full
why
full
do nude? I or you or other guys get more turned on by not seeing the full breast or vagina?
I'm with you.
And seeing it under, like, knowing it's there. Why is because, that more
because
of a turn on?
Modesty is something that implies something being withheld for us. You know what I mean?
I think it's kind of seeing something that you're not supposed to see.
There's that too. There's a lot of different, I think, elements to that. It's also
it's
there's
like
no more there's no more secrets. There's
film.
Nothing. There's you know. It's all
see what.
There's no more to.
It's
anticipate.
More exciting, like when the rising action in the film, like something's about to happen, and then
so
the,
it's
the
different
happens,
compared
like,
to
like,
food.
It wasn't as good as I built it up to be in my head.
All right, let's wrap this up.
You're right. It's different kind of food. It's weird.
Well, food.
It's weird. We should have a veil behind food.
It's not
should
that
eat
different.
Everything with a blindfold.
Catherine said, "Don't start without me. I'm almost there."
Yeah, because he, so. God forbid, we ever start
here
when
we go.
On time, Mike. Mike Catherine is late every fucking time, every time.
All right, so here we go.
And then he gets furious if we start on time.
Headphones off.
Why?
Why?
I still got it's more to talk here, about. So let's talk about the Biebs. So there's this one
Wait,
part.
Are we still talking about the Biebs?
Yeah, the Biebs. There's this one part where they ask if he reprimanded or punished
his security guard.